Hello, welcome to another episode of Sage Reverie. Today we're talking about anger. Welcome to Sage Reverie, a podcast where we seek to live well and live wisely. I'm Mike Wilson.
And I'm Wes Smith.
We live in the great state of Wyoming, and each week, from a biblical perspective, we discuss a trending topic and what others are saying about it. If you're using these episodes for your group, there are discussion questions in the description. And for more information about our ministry, visit church307.com. Wes, I feel like our world is very angry right now.
Yeah.
Between all the wars and politics and all that stuff. And on top of the anger we all regularly feel, anger at our kids or anger at our boss at work or whatever you happen to be angry at the time, like, man, it just seems to be everywhere. You would assume as our comfort level keeps growing and everything becomes all this technology that we've added to our lives to make it easier, it seemed like we've just relaxed a little bit. But that doesn't seem to be happening. Here, let's watch this to put us in the mood.
Uh-oh, Richard! Oh, wow!
That was too far.
Yeah.
The feed goes silent, and so does the audience after Will Smith takes a swing at Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars. It all went down after Chris made a crack about Will's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and her shaved head.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2.
That's Muhammad Ali that just said
it. Yep.
that was a nice one. Okay.
While Will appears to laugh at first, things immediately turn sour as he takes to the stage, slapping Chris straight across the face.
Uh-oh, Richard! Oh, wow! Wow! Will Smith did-
In the moment, nobody knows if this is real.
Nobody knows
not.
If it's real, if it was staged. You assume it might be staged, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't think it's played out well. For a while, I was thinking it might be staged, but it did not play out well in Will Smith's career.
No, I don't think it was staged. No.
So Will Smith is reacting to Chris Rock making fun of his wife,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of the gig. I mean, you go to these events expecting that comedian's going to make fun of some people. Did Will Smith sin when he smacked Chris Rock in defense of his wife?
What do you think?
I asked you.
You know, sin, when we use this term sin, right? Did he sin? Did he do anything outside of the will of God? Is that how we're going to define sin? Or did he specifically do something that he knew God was telling him not to do? Is that what you define it? So before I answer the question, let me define the term a little bit. But did God approve of him slapping Chris Rock? No, I don't think so, right? The way we handle anger and conflict should not be physical violence.
Yeah.
And when we do handle it with physical violence, we are outside God's will.
Yeah.
Right. So you can go that route. However, I think we want to be careful to say about anger that it is something we just sort of keep in and manage.
Yeah.
And there are times I think it would have been very appropriate if you're somebody you love is being mistreated for you to react in a way that says that is wrong and to address that.
Yeah.
So anger is a gift from God.
Wow.
And the anger that perhaps welled up in Will, again, I don't know him. I don't know the situation, but that welled up in him is probably a righteous kind of thing.
Okay.
And him reacting to it is a righteous kind of thing. So let's not be too aggressive about appears to be inappropriate as a sin. Again, he should not have done that.
Yeah.
That was outside of God's will for that situation. Sure. But boy, let's be honest about anger, right? It's from God.
Yeah.
It's a gift from God.
That's crazy.
And injustice is something that should make us angry.
Yeah.
So
I've never heard anybody say anger is a gift from God. Like normally we would ask the question, is it sin or not? And we would usually land on the side of, no, it's not sin. Cause Jesus did it, right? We got the story of Jesus enters into Jerusalem a couple days before he's going to be killed. And he goes into the temple. He sees the people have set up shops in the Gentile court in the temple. And so he goes in and just starts going nuts, throwing over tables, makes a whip and starts driving people out of his temple. There's a lot going on in that scene. Jesus calls it his father's house. Like almost everything he says in that interaction is a quote from Old Testament scripture.
Right.
So like he is fulfilling prophecy while he is doing this action. So it's not just some enraged, out of control, losing his mind. Like this is pretty intentional. Like he's taking a stand. So we would read this story and say, no, obviously anger is not a sin because Jesus did it. Then the question becomes, okay, what is righteous anger and what isn't? How do we draw that line? How do we determine? Can we even in our sinful, selfish states ever get to the point of righteous anger? Or are we so flawed and so broken that, nope, if we are ever angry, it's sinful anger?
Oh, no, we're not there. Anger is so much like sex. Okay. If both, but follow me. Just follow me.
Those are two different acts, like angry sex. What are you talking about?
Okay. So just stay with me. Okay. Don't add to it right now. Okay. But so I would say both are tremendous gifts of God. We, in our fallen nature, and because we have an enemy, have often made both, our motivations about both of them and the way we use them have both become sinful in many respects.
Yeah.
But both are a gift, and both, if understood from a perspective of to God be the glory and this is for God, can be really great things if used right. So we would say sex, right? If used with if engaged in within the context of a marriage loving relationship, it's a beautiful gift of God to be greatly enjoyed, makes us better married people. We enjoy life more, and in many cases leads to this gift of a child that God intended for us. So it's all good, right?
Yeah.
But now, because we are fallen and selfish, we use that and we desire it for selfish purposes. And then when we engage in it, it often leads to more harm if we do that wrong, right? So we restore that in the Christian faith to its place, right? Yeah. Well, anger is the same thing. Yeah. If in our fallen nature, first of all, we become angry about the wrong things. So I'm now angry about like an injustice to me. I'm not so angry about an injustice to God, but I'm angry about something that hurt me. And it's from selfish place.
Yeah.
And then we do it the wrong way.
Yeah.
We punch and slap and do all these. We do it from the moment like we're early children. One of the reasons you get angry with your kids is because they use their anger wrong.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just become this thing, this great gift that we, because of our fallen nature and sinful, we've twisted it.
Yeah.
But anger itself is a beautiful thing, a great gift from God.
I think the sex analogy is really good because you're right. It does produce something. If it's used in a healthy way, it produces something good.
Yeah.
If you use anger in a healthy way, it's going to produce a good baby. It's going to produce justice where there was no justice. It's going to produce peace where there was no peace or
internal growth. So the great things of my life that have been transformed is primarily from a place of, I am so tired of being this way.
Yeah.
I'm so angry about this ruling my life. I will get this fixed. God help me. It came from a place of great angst and anger about it, and has led to enormous transformation, but there had to be anger first. Anger has been one of the great gifts God gave me.
Yeah, that's really good. Where we have generally had this conversation, we've said the difference between sinful anger and righteous anger is selfishness.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Yeah.
If I am acting in anger for selfish reasons, then it's sinful anger. Mm-hmm. If I'm acting in anger for selfless reasons, then it's Now that's a general rule. That's one of like a more of a proverb,
right?
This is always true.
There are times when boundaries that the legitimate boundaries in people's lives are being invaded by somebody else. They're suffering abuse.
Yeah.
And there, that would be a moment where you'd say, this is wrong. And even though it is being done to you and it is for self-protection, it's still righteous anger.
Yeah.
So there are times when an injustice towards me is appropriate to be angry about. But really, most of the time, to most of the people we're talking to, like me and you, it's easy to get angry because the person in line in front of me is too slow or something.
Yeah.
Right. That's not righteous anger.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So road rage is generally not righteous anger.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I think the if you are tempted to be angry while watching the news.
Yes.
So that's the point of the news. Just to let you know, their whole goal is to get you angry because then you watch more.
Right.
But when you're watching it, are you angry because this politician is going to mean I have less money in my bank account? Mm-hmm. Or am I angry because this politician is going to cause more pain in our world because of their bad policies? Mm-hmm. You can draw a line there and say, what is my motivation? Mm-hmm. In my
anger? Or they disagree with my point of view.
Yes.
All those kind of things, right? Like, if you're worried about somebody who's being abused, as you watch a news story and you're angry about that injustice, that's one thing. But if it has to do with a different point of view, you know, but we're human. We can't avoid, you know, we grow out of dysfunctional anger. We can't just flip a switch, right? And the first step of that is to say anger is a gift, but it's like a Ferrari. It is easily not managed correctly, right? Yeah. Like it's this, you know, sometimes when we talk about anger or sex or these other things, it's like, boy, did God give us too much of a gift? Like, boy, God, you gave us a lot here.
It's a powerful weapon.
Yeah, it's so powerful and it's so often mismanaged. And we're in a world where, boy, it's so available to us to mismanage these things, right? So
I think where I've seen the most anger in my life, I'll try not to be too transparent, is is watching the news and then also watching sports.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
My family and my extended family can be too invested in sports, kind of like this.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to see home videos, Mike.
Why would you ever put a home security camera in your living room?
Right, that's exactly. Yeah.
He's playing a video game.
Oh, yeah, video. Especially if you're not going to be dressed. Whoa.
Oh, now it's awkward.
Man, that shit pissed me off, man.
Can you relate?
Not specifically. Not specifically.
That video actually was a little clip from like a 2-hour long compilation of people breaking their TVs.
Oh, really? Okay. Like,
apparently that's a common thing. I've never broken a TV before.
Good. Okay, good. Good. Yeah, right. Right. Right.
I think anger can run out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And anger can be a good tool. It can be a good weapon. But we all know somebody who's allowed anger to control them rather than them using anger as a tool, as a motivator to do good things. Mm-hmm. And so we do have to have this like check and balance on our anger and determine, is this anger controlling me or am I allowing it to, is it taking a place in my life? Am I too emotional about this thing? Romans 12:19 says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them." Enemies. If your enemies, I'm going to guess you're angry at your enemies. "If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will reap We're still angry at them because he says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. He's even appealing to your anger at them.
Yes. Yeah. Don't let you want to get them.
That's right.
Here's how to get them. Yep. Yeah. Right.
And then he says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Mm-hmm.
We've often said that anger breaks relationships. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can use that strategically.
Mm-hmm.
But often if anger is controlling you rather than you controlling it, then it generally leads to broken relationships or unhealthy relationships. Yeah.
Do you have practices in your life to manage that, to keep a guard on not relationships not getting broken? Do you have any practices you've established yet?
Yeah. As much as possible, I meditate, but not in the way that most people think meditating.
Okay.
There are go-to songs that I listen to.
Yeah.
When I get angry.
Yeah.
And for me, driving.
Driving. Yeah. Okay.
I need to go sit in my car.
Yeah.
Put on one of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And just disappear into my thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. Same. Not the same things, but practices like that. I need to have a couple people in my life I can process anger with.
Okay.
I have you and I have had a discussion actually in one of our other podcasts that folks will hear about the whole idea of making sure I'm listening more than speaking.
Yeah.
And if I feel there's emotion involved, I always try to take a period of time before I respond. If I can, at least a couple of days. That practice has made a huge difference. A couple of people to process with. And then I would say, the scripture talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I try to make sure I've processed my anger before I go to sleep, because that's sort of a way of releasing it and giving it to God. And if I do that, because sleep and anger management are closely tied together, because one leads to the other, right? And so if I've done that before it's time to sleep and rest, then I'm able to rest a little better. And rest is like this: the more rest I get, the less I experience the emotion of anger and its detrimental effects. So there's a relationship for me between the two. So yeah, just some practices that I have to speak it. So if there's not one of those two people available, I'll speak it to God. I'll speak it. And as I speak it, it starts to leave.
Yeah.
So
I think anger is definitely, it some of us are more tempted to fall into anger than others.
Yeah.
I have two sons. One of them, I can count on one hand the number of times. He's just happy-go-lucky, easygoing kid. Yeah. I've got another son. If he loses a game, it's over. Yeah. I mean, we're throwing things.
Yeah.
He has a very hard time controlling his anger.
Yeah.
And so they're different in that way. For my son that struggles with anger, my statement to him when he gets angry is, let's breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
And we will sit together and we will breathe.
Breathe.
Together. Take deep breaths, slow down.
Yeah.
And he hates it in the moment.
Yeah.
But what that does is it gives us a pause. It gives us a moment to reflect and realize, okay, let's put this into bigger perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is this?
Yeah. It's great, Mike. You know what, too, though? We're mostly coming at this topic from the position of, you get angry. How do you manage that? How do you control all that? But there are some folks, and maybe it's your other son, who they need to, when they feel anger, they need to actually encourage themselves to express that.
Oh yeah.
Because we're also talking to people in our world who their response to this emotion of anger is to suppress and never express.
True.
And that's just as harmful. It's not as outwardly harmful.
Yeah.
We look at the other son and say, wow, that's crazy stuff, right? It's like these people punching TVs.
Yep.
But it's also, we've learned now, just as crazy to never express in a healthy way your anger. And so for me, there's sometimes when I say, okay, I need to say something to somebody in the next week about this injustice.
Yeah.
I can't just keep suppressing. I'm going to do something. I had a conversation yesterday that I said, hey, I'm angry about what you said.
Yeah.
And I think it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And here's my perspective on that. I think that was healthy too. Now there's the pause and there's the breathing in the way that I do that. But so you can be mismanaged in both ways by both. I'm not saying either your sons are but I'm just using them as an example, right? If you can mismanage anger in both ways.
Yeah.
So
I think a lot of people have a temptation in the mismanagement of their anger, in that they, they believe that suppressing it
right.
is relieving it.
Right.
That is not
true. Not true.
So many people right. bottle anger
yeah.
and it explodes.
Then it explodes in some bad way. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I have some relatives that they seem like they have this like up and down wild swings mm. of like just calm, crazy Boom. Explosion. Yeah. And it's because in all the calm time, they've been suppressing, mm-hmm. bottling it up. Mm-hmm. And that is not a healthy mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. to manage anger. Mm-hmm. If there is anger, dealing with it often mm-hmm. is conversations, mm-hmm. is in the moment mm-hmm. Or soon thereafter. The reason why scripture tells us not to let the sun go down in our anger, it's because if you just keep doing that every night, I'm just yeah. going to pack it away deeper yeah. and I'm going to yeah. pack it away deeper. You just keep suppressing that, then it's going to come out
yeah.
and it's going to lead to more pain. Yeah. Than yeah. it would have if you dealt with it
yeah.
When it came up.
And you don't have to be afraid that you're not going to deal with it exactly perfectly.
Yeah.
Obviously, deal with it in as healthy a way as you can, and you'll get better and better at that. But the way you get better and better at something is through like experimentation and growth as you do it, not waiting till you have the perfect words and the whole thing. No, go ahead and say something.
Yeah.
It's okay. Do it a little wrong. Try to do it as little wrong as you can, but it's okay if you do it a little bit wrong. You know, I counsel parents all the time about this, especially back when I was a pastor, would have these regular conversations. And they would blow up at their kids, right? That's a pretty common thing. I think actually, if you're a parent, probably the people you get angry with the most would be your children. You don't want to say that out loud.
True about me.
But it would be the thing. Okay. And so some parents, the conversation is, okay, the way you're doing it is very harmful. Stop that. And that's could be a, but also then some parents, they would be, as we're talking here, like they're not knowing how to deal with that perfectly. They primarily just suppress it and say, no, let's experiment with expressing your anger to your children in a healthy way. And let's get better and better at that.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. You do have to grow. And the way you grow is just, okay, here's how I express it today. How can I express that better tomorrow? But it starts with expressing that.
Yeah.
Right.
For me, anger becomes much more an uncontrollable thing when I'm stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so like right now we're in soccer season. And so we get home from work, go straight to soccer practice,
yeah.
try to grab some dinner on the way somewhere, mm-hmm. got errands to run. Mm-hmm. That's when I get stressed. Mm-hmm. It's like when I feel like I'm trying to mm-hmm. catch up all the time,
mm-hmm.
my stress level. And so when I get stressed, I snap at my wife
mm-hmm.
so quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like this morning we're dropping our kids off at work and she called me and asked me a question that I felt like she should know the answer to. And because I'm so great and superior, mm, then yep, I yep. snap at her because yeah. she asked me a question that yeah. I thought she should know the answer to.
Right.
But it's entirely because I was stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that just jump straight to dealing with the mm-hmm. anger is missing a step.
Mm-hmm.
I need to deal with the stress
mm-hmm.
because the anger is a symptom mm-hmm. of a deeper issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for different people, mm-hmm. there's a different issue that needs to be dealt with rather than just jumping to the anger. I'm going to solve my anger problem. Actually, you got to solve something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
What is causing that? What is the unhealthy thing in your life that is mm-hmm. coming out mm-hmm. as anger?
Mm-hmm. We should do a discussion sometime on margins, right? When I eliminate margin in my life, mm-hmm. time is the first one, but money and other things could get into that. When I eliminate margin, then that leads to so many things. So your description about your evening and your morning and all that. And so a lack of margin led to stress,
yeah.
right? Which then leads to anger, dysfunction,
yeah.
right? Which leads to. So many of the source, whether it's parent or marriage or whatever, goes back to lack of margin.
Yep.
And anger is so often the typical outcome. Yeah. So I haven't set up margin. So I didn't able to lay a foundation for a situation. I put this, I've never actually like, properly equipped and trained and given margin to my kids in this situation. So that's going to lead to anger.
Yeah.
Right. Not always. This isn't the panacea for all of our problems, but it is a source of so yeah. much of our anger. You track, I've had people do this. You track the times you got angry. And I'd say 70-80% of the times you get angry, you can trace back to margin.
That's good.
So it's
what leads okay. to road rage.
Oh, like, absolutely. I got to get there.
I'm in a hurry.
Absolutely.
And you're yep. in my way. So I'm yep. mad at you.
And then we just get used to living that way. So even when we do have margin, we've conditioned our brains to react as if we are in a hurry.
Yeah.
So even when we don't have to be, we're living that way because it's just we've conditioned our brains.
Yeah, that's really good. I think more of us need to spend time asking, what does God want me to be angry about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's have that conversation with God. What is something that you want me to, what is an injustice mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. see mm-hmm. that I am uniquely called or qualified for? Mm-hmm. If you recognize it, then maybe God's calling you
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
spend some time asking God, what are some things that I'm angry at that I shouldn't be angry at mm-hmm. because I'm lacking margin or because of mm-hmm. some other unhealth? Mm-hmm. But what are some things that I need to be angry at? Mm-hmm. We look at the example of Jesus angry in the temple mm-hmm. and we would say, That reveals to us some of what God gets angry about.
Yep.
God gets angry when somebody comes between a worshiper. This is what happened in the temple, a worshiper and them worshiping God.
Yep. If you come between a seeker and God,
oh man,
be very careful.
Yep.
Be very careful. That's you're on dangerous territory.
And that should make us angry.
Yeah.
If it makes God angry, it should make us angry.
Yeah.
And I think there's a long list of things that we just rely on our emotions to determine what will make us angry rather than asking the question, what does God want me to be angry?
Two prayers I'd say to pray as consistently as you can as it relates to anger. First, God, today, what are you angry about in the world I live in?
Yeah.
And just keep asking and eventually he'll start to show you what he's angry about. Just ask, and then secondly, and this goes to whether you're a parent of children or in a difficult work environment, whatever. What should my response be to the things that typically make me angry? Because if you have a prepared response to your children when they're fighting or whatever, that's thoughtful that God has brought in, what should my response be to the things that typically make me angry? Yeah. Give me a response. I need a first step.
Yeah.
And pray those prayers and you'll be amazed by how many times God says, you know, when this coworker does what they always do, Here's a response. It'll just come to you when you pray this prayer.
Have a plan.
Yeah. Have it be a God-given plan.
Yeah.
Not one you and your poker buddies figured out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with poker buddies, but have something from God that you get every day.
I have this tendency to lay in bed and come up with all the comebacks I'm going to say.
Yes.
Like when he says this, I'm going to have this awesome comeback ready and I'm going to have this one liner that's going to make him feel like an idiot.
Yep.
So we're not talking about that type of fantasy.
No,
but it's so frustrating because I never remember it in the moment.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Had a great comeback.
Oh man, I would have got them. they'd have melded in like reverence for my wisdom. Yes.
Oh, and, you know, when I was laying in bed, it was such a good comeback.
Well,
wherever you're at in this conversation, whichever side of the spectrum you find yourself on, whether it's being controlled by your anger or if it's shying away from it, one or the other, the invitation is just to continue to seek God and in your spiritual maturity, as you mature spiritually and in margin and your habits and in the way you interact with people, as you mature, what you'll realize is that over time, God will align his priorities to your life. He will do that. He will do the sanctifying work in your life where you begin to align to what he has called you to be angry about righteously. So we invite you to that.